just want to pick some dates and then pick some topics. We keep, and I think you mentioned today, you know, we've talked about ledge priorities. We've talked about doing something around it. We've talked about funding formulas. We've talked about all those things. So, you know, just in terms of different types of topics, so that we're able to have discussions around one specific thing that can be, and then also within that, the idea that if we had, if there was somebody who could come and present information on something, that would give us just kind of more, yeah. So, are there any speakers for this special meeting? Does anybody have any comments in terms of topics, or should we? So this were, so you skip the part when I'm asking all a million questions, don't you?
So I would like to have us look into the libraries that serve our member districts. And similar to what Dr. Mullen shared is going to happen with the counselors, I'd like to see presented to us and it could be a workshop setting to educate us on the programs that our libraries have. And it's what Mr. Stark had mentioned earlier, is that knowledge so that we can share and refer. So I just get the feeling that there's a lot of programs that the county libraries, the cities offer, that I'm going to be very vulnerable with you, that I don't know what they are. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be very interested in finding out in a workshop setting and having them, however that would be. I don't even want to stage it. So
that one would be more of a presentation kind of than a discussion? Or how do you see that going?
Well, a workshop can certainly be having presentations mm-hmm. made. Mm-hmm. But I think that it would be, I would be very interested, because there are programs that, for example, I'd like for our counselor to attend mm-hmm. that workshop so that mm-hmm. they then are aware and can then make good referrals to students about programs that they offer. And it's really leveraging, I think that's the word, that I don't want to put words in Joe's mouth, but he said it very eloquently, but it's being able to refer people to those services that exist within LARIC, mm-hmm. and certainly our partners are a part of that.
So libraries as a topic. What's another topic you guys have?
I think funding formula. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This would be high on the list for me. And then maybe tied to that, maybe some of, you know, to the degree that might influence what we want our legislative advocacy to be mm-hmm. around funding, obviously that's going to be an important topic then, which is, may drive that, you know, discussion.
Right. So it's almost like that would have to be first, or what in terms of order would that matter?
Did you say legislative advocacy?
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe a separate one.
Separate.
But within that ledge piece, mm-hmm. obviously, I think certainly from LAUSD's point of view, that there's, you know, we would want something related to funding in there.
Right. So when we...
And I, to kind of play off the professional development theme that we heard today, we had a teacher, a faculty member, state a concern about the work groups not coming together. I'd like to know more about what work groups we had, what work groups we should have from the staff's perspective, and how do we make sure that this collaboration among our faculty is occurring, because it seems to have borne a lot of fruit and is very positive, so I want to try to continue that as much as possible. And then in this notion of dual enrollment and or guided pathways opportunities from the K-12 adult schools as well as K-12s into the nine community colleges. How do we, maybe we can begin to address that a little bit more broadly.
I think another just topic, and I think we alluded to it a little bit today, and I know that the other day when the Point people and the LERIC staff were meeting, I got on a conference call to clarify some of the things that I said. But I think maybe a conversation around roles and responsibilities. I don't know if that's a closed session or an open session, but our organizational structure has shifted, as Adrienne Ann said earlier, from when we started. I mean, when we originally started, we actually didn't have a project manager hired specifically, right? Lancey was doing a lot of that help. Emilio and I were both Point people and executive team members, and, you know, so all of that structure has changed a little bit, and I think that maybe some of the difficulties or the challenges or the rubs that we're having right now have to do with that needs to be revisited and re-clarified. So I don't know if that's a closed session discussion topic or an open session, open meeting discussion topic. I don't know.
That's an open session.
Because it's organization, it's a structure.
But I think it's really important. I mean, I think it's something if there are concerns and a need to really kind of crystallize it as we're heading into this three-year planning cycle, then absolutely it's very timely and it should happen. That, mm-hmm. I would say that's a pretty high priority.
Well, and I guess the question, that's the impression I have also from Point people. Is that something that would be helpful for you guys to have some clarity around that or...
Yeah, as a matter of fact, during our conversation, our phone conference call conversation, we actually requested the ability to put forth, additional topics to the executive team that, you know, may be helpful to do our work. And that was precisely one of the elements that that we had identified as an important portion of that. And I want to extend the opportunity to my colleagues here to augment that. But, you know, having to do with the structure, the roles and responsibilities of each one of the groups, what are, you know, what is the liaison between the groups? Does the executive team have the authority to direct the point person's team or not? Veronica voiced out today part of her understanding of current situation is that, you know, she can direct her point person but not anybody else's. From my perspective, that's a little bit contrary to how we originally were founded. And so, you know, obviously we need to, situation has changed, right? Circumstances have changed, and we need to ensure, you know, that we all understand in the world the same page. Yes.
So, in a traditional board setting, boards are established policy, and they have oversight over whoever the chief executive is of the organization. So the only person who reports to the board is that chief executive, be it a superintendent, be it a chancellor, be it a project director. So I, for one, would not think it would be wise for us as either individual board members or collective board members to direct your staff or to direct any other point person other than the one who reports to us through our organizations. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you're implying, to me I think if we adopt the normal position that boards adopt, that's probably not only traditional but a safe way for us to deal with that. Plus, it's important to note that all the point people are individual employees of the districts to which they work,
right?
And we have zero oversight or authority over those individuals. Mm-hmm. So we better not play in those sandboxes, because we're going to get in trouble if we do, if we're having some kind of issue. I think something that we might want to think about and talk about in whatever forum is, given our size and our scope, do we need co-project directors, one with an administrative focus and one with a programmatic focus or a PD focus or something along those lines? I'm not saying that we do. I'm not saying that we don't. I think that we're large enough, we're big enough. I certainly have been impressed with, I've been doing this for maybe a year now, and every meeting, our meetings become meatier, if you know what I mean. The things that we talk about are become much more germane to what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And what that says to me is that there's a lot of work to be done, and that we are beginning to get our heads wrapped around that work, and that we should continue to grow and mature and develop and build that collaboration a little bit better and work towards the things we need to work towards. So maybe that's the kind of thing that, that we would explore, is are we structured properly to achieve the goals that we set forth?
Well, so what I think that a workshop specifically around our organizational structure, and that it has all those other elements that can come into it, but definitely a workshop around just heading organizational structure and then whatever comes from that.
For example, I'd like to see models from other consortia across the state.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What are others doing? How are they organized? Why are they organized that way? And are they having success with it?
Right.
Might be helpful.
Yeah, I agree with everything that's been said. I think one of the things that makes it challenging, obviously, is that we're all administrators,
right.
And then we're board members. And I think it can be very challenging to separate those two roles, because they are very different roles, as Bob said. I mean, if as a board member, you're supposed to be in a certain realm and operating in a certain capacity. As a chief executive, which we all are in our respective organizations, we're also responsible for. And so I think in some cases, it's hard sometimes not to blend the two, right? But I think, to your point, it may be a healthy, thing at this point to really come together and kind of maybe deconstruct this a little bit. And I agree. I mean, let's try to keep it simple in the sense of, kind of maybe following the traditional, kind of structure. But at the same time, I'm certainly open, to other ways of doing it if it's going to make us more effective. I think that's one of the, I've been very proud of kind of as a group, I think one of our hallmarks is that we're always open to, taking a look at how we can do something better and then sort of being open-minded about exploring various options and taking action where we need to take action. Mm-hmm. So I think that would certainly be an appropriate workshop to delve into more.
So So funding formula, we said, is really legislative priorities or advocacy and priorities, kind of in an umbrella. I'm just kind of creating topics. The collaboration. So collaboration as a topic, so that we get feedback from people on what that might look like, or what do you with the background information from other work groups?
I guess it falls under, in my mind, this notion of faculty engagement and participation, and how do we encourage faculty engagement and participation?
And can we use, would it be okay to use, just saying stakeholder, or do we want to leave it,
I think we really should focus on teachers and faculty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Faculty, teachers and
teacher and faculty.
Engagement. Okay, perfect.
Not to, again, we're not excluding anybody, but that is really, I think, our core stakeholder group in with regard to a lot of these topics.
And then the libraries, Emilio. Again, they're not in specific order as much as I'm just trying to wrap my head around like what those topics might be. And would it be like, it's almost like innovative something, and then within it they could be different things, and libraries be the first thing? Or is it specifically libraries?
Well, I personally, because libraries have taken on a greater role than what I recall them as a elementary school kid in the LAUSD, and even as a high school kid, they've gotten into the education game. So I don't know that. That's why I'd like to see a workshop where they present what it is that they're bringing to the table in terms of their programs.
Right. Would this be more of a, I'm just wondering if it falls, because I'm trying to figure out what umbrella or bucket does that, and would it be more under the professional development framework where we would want to incorporate then building that knowledge, that awareness around, you know, particularly we're talking about regionalization, you know, knowing what the services are in your particular region, knowing what's appropriate in terms of referrals and whatnot. Would it be under that umbrella, or I mean, it can sit on its own. That's right too. I'm just wondering if there's an area though where we would want to.
So,
because I also agree, it's very important.
It PD and
be,
best practices. How
right, and into, and I think it really should be when we look at our next 3-year plan, one of those areas that we really do want to focus on and go deeper than maybe we have.
Right. But I wonder if I'm understanding correctly, if we're referring to professional development, or are we actually talking about collaborative efforts, you know, so that we can then utilize the resources that are available at the library as part of the menu of options that we offer to our students. Is that more or less what you're talking about?
I think it's both, but I would say my original thought was what you shared. Look, this for me stems from what occurred, I don't know, Joe, was it about 3 years ago now? We had a meeting at the Japanese American Cultural Center. And frankly, I was amazed at what the city library was bringing to the table in terms of their educational programs. I remember that meeting vividly, and I was kind of floored. I thought, wow, this is amazing. So I'm sure that in 3 years, there's some other things now that, you know, that I don't know about. And, you know, we were talking about earlier, Joe worded it very well, about those referrals, knowing what the consortium offers and are being able to refer people and saying, you know, we don't have that, but doggone it, here's, you know, here they've got a great program here that's going to meet your needs, that sort of thing. I think our libraries do that, but I don't know the full scope of what they are.
And certainly the libraries have been, we've seen them at least 2 or 3 times.
He was here today.
In recent board meetings.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I think you're right. I think it would benefit all of us to know more what's happening and how we can partner with them in certain areas.
And if I may remind the board that LAUSD is currently conducting a pilot with the public libraries where they are going to be providing library cards to all of the Division of Adult and Career Education students. They've already done that with the K-12 system. And so now we're replicating that with the adult students. And so part of that is creating curriculum that will help students understand the libraries better and what services are available. I think that one of the things that we can do as part of the, let's say, a midpoint report on that pilot could be providing you with some data as to the success and whatnot. And then inviting them to do precisely that, to update us on, you know, all the products and services that they currently offer that our students could take advantage of. And a second phase of that particular pilot would be then to and we've already discussed this with LA, with the Los Angeles Public Library, right? Which is identifying their counterparts in the various cities in which the rest of LEREC is located, so that we can then replicate basically what is happening right now with the Division of Adult and Career Education with the rest of the member districts from the consortium.
Makes sense. So I have a question for anybody in the audience. Are there other topics that you guys have thought that would be good for us to have a whole workshop about that you would want to be part of? Or are you just like sitting here right now? And we can start with the topics we have, create maybe some meetings for those, and then we add as other things come up. Yeah, I think you're right. We have enough here. So I have LEREC org structure, funding formula, legislative advocacy and priorities, teacher faculty engagement, libraries, and guided pathways. Those are the things that I have from what we talked about. So if we were looking at having meetings, does what makes the most sense, and how long do these workshops, do you guys see these workshops being an hour workshop, 2 hour workshops, hour and a half, before or after our existing meetings, different days?
I think it depends on kind of the topic and how much preparation is going into it, because if we're just kind of showing up and it's more of a dialogue, open dialogue thing, I mean, that could go on for a while. Or are we asking staff to kind of provide something, right, for us to look at or discuss, in which case, you know, that might make it more, you know, sort of efficient in terms of the meeting. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, in the funding session, we may want to have staff bring some proposals to look at. Or we could just start off kind of
others,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, I think there probably should be some preparation going into it.
I agree. I think that to make the workshop valuable for all of us in terms of time, right. There should be some something we're looking at that we're prepared for discussion when we come. So that we,
well,
not decisions, but just discussion.
And objectives, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, key objectives. Mm-hmm. Like, so in this session, mm-hmm. we want to, you know, whatever those key objectives are.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, may I suggest then for, so that we have a more cohesive approach to this thing, right? It is appropriate for us to communicate via email, and please, when you reply individually, not as a group. But it is appropriate for us to do that to define topics for meetings. Right, or agenda items. And so for this purpose, what I can do is, you know, we have, I believe, 6 or 7 items right now that we have identified. Maybe we can prioritize, you know, which one is going to be first, second, and third, at least for now. And then each item, as we are preparing for next month, I can send it 3 weeks in advance of the next meeting, so that I can have your input in terms of objectives for that particular meeting, right? And some requests for what data would you think is appropriate for us to find or research, so that we can then provide it a couple of weeks prior to the meeting, so that then when we come to the meeting, then we're all informed according to the data that we have unearthed. Of course, you can provide your own data, do your own research, you know, so on and so forth, but at least we have some baseline, we have something that everybody is the same information that we'll share, and then we can build on that. Would that be an appropriate
I think we need to decide. We need to figure out some, like, what topic to start with, and
sure.
and then what meeting schedule to start with. At least
right.
have a discussion about the meeting schedule, so that we don't walk away trying to create it after the fact. Right.
Right. So for if I may interject one more time for practicality's sake, one of the things that we need to discuss as quickly as possible is the funding formula. Mm-hmm. And that's simply because we are coming up onto the anniversary that's going to be in November of the Montebello audit, of which LEREC is a part of, and we need to close that loop, right? You know, hopefully be able to provide enough information to on the yearly report to the auditors so we no longer can be a part of that. So we satisfied all of the requirements that the state auditors have imposed on LEREC up until now.
I would agree with you on that. I think the time for that is certainly this appropriate. I think that we need to identify a structure. Otherwise, these workshops could end up being free-for-alls. Mm-hmm. So one of the things Joe suggested, whether it's the point persons coming forward with different formulas, I've seen that happen with staff in terms of board workshops, or individual members come forward prepared to present a funding proposal. But there has to be some kind of structure mm-hmm. outlined so we know how it's going to run and so that we have an orderly workshop.
Right.
And along those lines, as a board member, I would expect staff, with the assistance of the point people, mm-hmm. to, given the topic, develop an agenda and develop the materials that we need in order to thoroughly interrogate the agenda. And there may or may not be an outcome goal. There may or may not be a decision, depending on what we're talking about. It may just be that we are going to thoroughly interrogate or discuss a topic that then at that meeting will lead to a conclusion or lead to a direction to staff. Okay, looks like we're heading down this path. We want you to specifically do X, Y, or Z. I know as a staff member in my organization, as being a staff member my whole career, mm-hmm. Except for, I'll always be a staff member in the middle of my position, no matter how low or how high. But it's always been up to staff to bring forward the stuff. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is chief executive works with the board president, mm-hmm. and the board president determines the agenda, you know, for the workshops. And then if you have a board big enough that has a president, a vice president, a secretary, which is usually the CEO, and a clerk, then those are the so-called board officers, and they then would help determine, finalize the agenda if necessary, mm-hmm. or at least the board president would contact whomever, in this case she would like to help her finalize an agenda. Mm-hmm. But too many cooks spoil the broth, and staff doesn't want to cede its authority to the policy people, because then the policy people are running the organization, and then we've got lots of problems, and many of us around this table have experienced that on many occasions. And today I've been dealing with it a little bit myself. So.
So are we agreeing that funding formula then will be the first meeting? All right. And that being the case, then if I can restate, what the agreement is. So staff being the LEREC office members. That's a point of clarification that we also wanted to make, because sometimes when some of you refer to staff, you may be referring to the point person team member as opposed to the LEREC office staff, and so it's a little confusing. Okay, great. So that's us. Then we'll.
I'll say Elvis when I'm referring to.
The there you go. One.
Sorry,
we appreciate that tremendously. You know, just so that we're all clear as to kind of who's doing what. So staff and I will. We're all staff. I'm sorry. So staff will develop, let's say, three funding formulas. We will vet those funding formulas with the point person's team, get their input on that, perhaps maybe add one or two as a consequence of that, and then we'll have a menu of choices to present at the time of the workshop. And we'll try to evaluate pros and cons of one or the other, perhaps, you know, as we
and I wouldn't...
And we may tear it apart.
Sure, absolutely.
So don't be attached to it.
Yeah, we need to make sure. We're not saying that...
We're not voting on one.
At the end of the work, one of the objectives will not be...
Right.
By the end of the work session, we're all going to agree on a funding formula.
Right, right.
The objectives will be we're going to evaluate the existing proposals.
Yes.
And, you know...
Yeah.
But
I think...
And by the way, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, whatever number that you guys think makes sense, bring that one or others forward so that we can consider it. Because we can then, as everybody's saying here, well, we're not shy.
The
purpose of the workshop, unlike a board meeting, is the opportunity to have questions and dialogue on the fly. So as a plan is presented, there might be questions for clarification. There might be a number of questions that come up, and that's that opportunity that allows you, that you don't have that occurring in a regular meeting as we just had.
And so it just establishing the protocols is tremendously helpful, because then we can develop the formulas, then vet them with the point person's team, and with the input from the point person's team, finalize the formulas and then bring them forth for the...
So there's no finalizing anything.
I'm talking about finalizing the work.
Got it.
Everything is draft. We understand that it could all not happen or happen, whatever, right? But establishing the protocol makes it easier for us, so that we don't have to try to negotiate what the protocol is at the same time that we're trying to figure out, you know, research different formulas and whatnot.
I think the other thing is, from my perspective, the idea of the board discussions is to get not just our ability to talk about a specific topic and get and delve into it and ask questions and all of that stuff, but have the public be able to do it also, so that when then we've had some part of the discussion. You know, when we go to a board meeting where we have to take action, there's going to be some additional discussion, but we will have at least done a lot of the review and, you know, the homework, right, so to speak, the homework, so that we are making decisions that are in the best interest of the whole consortium.
And so as we are discussing this, staff members, do you have any questions that I have not asked, or anything else that you think might be helpful in this process?
John, are you catching this?
In terms of writing, like, proposals, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the one-pager idea? Are you looking at, like...
Oh, you mean in terms of different ways?
My experience with this is at one time for our district, I presented a world language plan, K-12. Is that involved a PowerPoint? That involved handouts? And there were three, in my presentation, there were three different options in terms of looking at it, including the fiscal
impact
on the district. So that's one way to look at that. The reason that's important is because we need to invite folks to attend this, and not that he's been a sage today, but Joe's really contributed some really good ideas. Our association members need to be there, especially for this, because they need to hear and be able to contribute, because they might have a different lens in that workshop than what we have. And so they're being there to contribute as we look at various funding formulas too would be important.
Well, it's open, so anybody can be there.
Anybody can be there.
Right, but I'm saying that visual is really important to have for those.
Absolutely.
And along with that, again, it's like, you know, we keep using this word, it's cliche, you know, transparency. It's important that we establish, I think, and I don't know that we've done this yet, so I guess it's going to be a part of the workshop. I mean, I have my opinion on why we should have a funding formula, mm-hmm. but that's just my opinion, right? So I think as a consortium, we need to kind of land on why is this a big issue for us?
Right.
Why is having a funding formula good, or right? Or is that, you know, because we haven't had one up to this point. So I think that's important to have that dialogue in terms of the purpose of why we would even want a funding for why are we having this discussion? Why are we even proposing this to begin with? AEP does not designate one, mm-hmm. right? So right. we're taking, you know, we're saying as a consortium, hey, it's important that we have a funding formula. Why is that? I think it's important that we're prepared to kind of speak on that
right.
as well.
And in answer to, I think, Michelle, you were asking about what a proposal looks like. I think that one of the things is as some stuff comes, we're going to identify what elements are there. I know for me personally, my visual is kind of bulleted, you know, I love the idea of impact, you know, but I think that's because that's the way I process things. I think that as you guys present some things, then we'll get a better sense of what makes sense for people in terms of mm-hmm. processing the information, what's
something,
in it.
Something short where you can just compare them, not necessarily a big document.
Well, with the idea that we needed to ask questions that we could have that information that supports whatever that document
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
it's not a proposal.
It isn't directly to answering you, but yeah. I think that something like this cannot be abbreviated so much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is a big issue, you know, we have gotten to the point now where the dollars are so great. I mean, if you look at the total amount of dollars here, and frankly, the fact that there's greater accountability now. We're the largest consortium in the state.
Yes.
There's tremendous accountability here.
Right.
From my point is we can't continue to operate because when people ask questions, we're going to have to give them a reply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is, why did you divide the money up this way? And so we're going to have some kind. I think a formula leads us to having a very direct response and something that was adopted and voted on and board approved, you know, there's a substantive answer as opposed to willy-nilly,
right.
which could open us up to all kinds of accusations. But I would say that whatever workshop is done, the presentations need to be detailed and need to be substantive so that then those attending have a clear understanding of option A, option B, and option C.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. And I'll just reiterate, I agree, and I think, you know, whatever the format is, I wouldn't necessarily want to lock us into a mm-hmm. particular format
sure.
per se, but I think all the presentations need a lead off in terms of why,
the background,
right? Because Bob mentioned something earlier with regard to the state framework for how they're looking at, you know, the funding, and so the three big terms, you know, equity,
access,
acceleration, right? So what are those sort of core ideals, common values, right? That because that's ultimately budgets, money, it all traces back to what are our values, right? Because mm-hmm. that's going to reflect what our values are. So if the funding formula is about, hey, we're about increasing access for adult learners, okay, that's why we're proposing, you know, whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the need, as we know, is greater than we can provide.
Exactly.
You know, and when we have teachers and students counting on us, right, you know, the stakes, particularly in this region, very high.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why, you know, it's going to be up to us to be very cognizant of and be very, you know, open about what those core values and principles are that we're basing whatever our proposals are.
Perfect. And it could be... that sounds very, very WASC-ish, actually, and that could be a part of, you know, drawing from our mission statement,
mm-hmm.
expanding, sustaining, and improving,
right?
And going with, you know, something that we already have and tying it in
right.
might be a good way. But anyhow,
so what do you guys think in terms of? Sorry, I should swallow. Time frame in terms of meeting.
might be more than a month.
Well, you know, we had three or four or five topics on the table here. So the question is, how many do we think we can chew off in any given semester or term? And what are the priorities associated with those? So we've identified funding formula as our number one priority. Is legislative advocacy another priority? And that would be tied to the state's calendar, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a unique opportunity. You know, we've said this before, and I don't mean to belabor it, but you know, we really have a unique opportunity to come together, big system here, mm-hmm. coming to the state with a unified, you know, sort of message, right? Right. And so that's going to come after, you know, the January proposal from exactly. the governor, right? We're going to look at that and see, you know, what does it look like for adult ed? You know, never in the history, or recent history anyway, have you had, you know, two big systems, you know, LA Community College, K-12 districts, really coming together with a very coherent, unified voice around adult ed. Mm-hmm. What's been happening is you got all these different state organizations out there representing their own sort of little pet project interests, which is fine, but that's not going to get us anywhere. You know, particularly around funding for adult ed, we've seen that approach has not really yielded much in the way of results. So I think if we were to really, you know, attack the funding piece in the fall semester, you know, and then hopefully based on that work, then start crafting, you know, a very short list of legislative advocacy points that would, one of which may include an ask, you know, from the state in terms of funding. You know, I think that would sort of be the window we'd be looking at is, you know, that, you know, that's when we're working with all our state organizations and government relations staff kind of in that spring period after the initial proposal comes out, you know, that period through May, you know, the May revise is when a lot of that sort of heavy duty advocacy occurs. I'm just saying from the LARIC point of view, it really would be nice if we were all kind of under the same marching orders as far as our ask, whatever that is.
And I would expect that at some point, and maybe it's already begun, I'm just not aware of it, the state is going to start asking these consortia, so what have you achieved? Has the bar been moved in any particular way? Yeah. And I don't know if, given our current structure and staffing level, if we've got the ability to pull the data together, the metrics together, that actually shows that as a consortium we are moving the bar in the ways the state wants us to move. So being the biggest, we may want to look at our ability to create the kinds of reports that would drive legislation. Mm-hmm. Or that would drive an increase in adult basic ed allocations. And that's part of a discussion under organization and structure and how we might staff. But it seems to me that, and some of you who do this day in and day out know much better than I do, that at some point the state's going to want to find out, is that half billion, I guess it is, 500 million that they're spending, has it done anything different than what was happening when the individual districts got
money? Absolutely. Yeah.
Is the consortium model working or not working? So I don't know if that's a separate discussion about metrics and research.
Well, but isn't that the data? Part of the data and accountability work group and plan, it, from my perspective, is absolutely looking at this from a LARIC-wide thing.
Is that part of the data?
Yeah. Well, what else would they
do? We should go back because that was part of what was presented today, right? And in my view, that's not included. That overall vision. It was more, you know, how do we do, what are best practices on data and accountability, collecting information, you know, so on and so forth. But I don't think that level really is included.
It can be.
It can be, yes. But it is not so far with what we discussed today.
So there's two questions, or two points. So the data accountability plan that we wrote last year was really It was about professional development across our districts, and the other one that was technology. And we all brought in Surface Pros to do e-testing. That was one of the big pushes. The data accountability we talked about in the point people, which we presented in the framework today, was making sure we have common definitions of what these the barriers in those three items. I can't remember the top of the, I can't remember them. I look at you because I know you're really good.
That's right here.
Yeah. So those three items. But also to come up with what's going to drive the conversation. So, for example, in our district, we're looking at a researcher that's just going to do adult education because we know to move that forward in our district, we need to have the data and create that conversation. And that's what I see with the data accountability plans. We're going to come up with common definitions for these. That's also going to drive a conversation, which is what you were referring to, Dr. Miller, is creating that conversation at the state level based on claims with evidence to support it, followed by what needs we need to partner with that, right? And they're tightly coupled.
Right. So the question is, does your work group, it's rhetorical
yes.
right now, have the horsepower that it needs to get done what you just described?
It can. It will depend on who the different districts send to that work group.
Okay.
They have to invest in the staffing to send.
Investment in staffing to send is a challenging thing for a district that has doesn't have the resources to send three
right.
people to data and accountability.
So this is like the district model
right.
that we have.
Right.
Money has to come off the top, as it does for our
right
Clara staff,
mm-hmm.
to pay for that, because we mm-hmm. can't assess Culver City or Burbank or Montebello because you don't have the same level of resources.
Mm-hmm.
But the consortium, as a consortium, mm-hmm. can determine that this is a very critical
right.
component, and therefore we should augment staff with some research, with some resource to provide whatever is needed, if in fact it is needed.
Right.
And that has to be the right person. Like, so for me and my district, whoever we get is this research person, that will be there. I'm going to go to Ryan, Dr. Corner. I need someone who has the understanding of the data reports we need to pull. I mean, I do, but I also need the right person at the table. And that's going to look different in every district, right? But
mm-hmm.
we have to support that. And part of the administrative fee that the consortium can pay is to drive this conversation. So the administrative fee is not just to support. It could be more than just to support the Larry Coffman. If we can take 5% off the top of this consortium, which is, $123 million, which is like $6 million. I'm not saying take $6 million. But there's a range from what we take currently to support the Larry office to what can support some of, you know, the example that you just gave, Ms. Montez, in a sense of you need support to bring people to the table. You're a small
well,
district.
But, and the metrics, I guess I'm thinking also, we're not making, the state is very clear on the adult ed program metrics,
mm-hmm.
literacy gains, employment, wages. We just went over them yesterday, Elvis, at our staff meeting, right? They're clear, so we're not making up metrics. The metrics exist. It's where, how do we aggregate them?
And how
right.
do we count them? How do we
right.
aggregate them? How do we collect
right.
them? How do we report them out
right.
in a consortium report?
Mm-hmm.
How do we show, and, you know, I don't know what all the expertise of the current staff is, but
right.
I would suggest that if we need more specialized expertise from a researcher's point of view, if that's important, which it's, I think it's going to be, that we do that, and that we do that in as part of the funding formula discussion, if you will, as we go forward.
And I think
the organizational structure.
We need to do the organizational structure. I think maybe that's with this first half of the year, we need to do that, because otherwise we're gonna keep
mm-hmm.
butting heads about who does what.
I think that's a good suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe do it together. It's
mm-hmm.
a joint. Put the two pieces together.
So, org structure and funding formula as our first meeting.
Exactly. And I think as important as these other items are, we just sort of keep them.
Start here.
As the next level of the professional development piece as it relates to faculty work groups. I think that's a good start, folks.
So,
and teacher and faculty.
I agree with organizational structure. Definitely agree with funding formula.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got to look at what's reasonable,
mm-hmm.
and within a time frame. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about allotting 3 hours? Because if that is the case, both of these will take you more than 3 hours.
Why don't we just say we're going to schedule 2 or 3 sessions to go over those two topics? And
so, but which one first? Organizational structure first?
I think so.
Or
maybe staff will decide that they can bring them to us collectively in some broad way, and then that begins a discussion that gets us something more refined. I would just as soon leave that up to staff to decide how they want to do it, but that we would plan at least 2 workshops of at least 3 hours each. Or make it 4 so we can eat. You know, whatever. But whatever. The point being is that let them work on that. And the only other one that I really want to make sure does not get dropped. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's a reason why it would drop, because I think we've got sufficient staff and point people to do it, is the teacher and faculty engagement part. I don't think that waits. I think we better be responsive to that immediately, mm-hmm. Based upon what we heard today and what we know is right, and then this other stuff that we talked about.
Okay, so that's that's sizable, but I think that over the course of the next 3 meetings is manageable as well.
So, go ahead. Are you thinking manageable because we would put them on the same day we have other meetings, or separate days?
I'd say the same days. We can tag on to the dates we already have, right?
And start the conversation. Yeah.
Right. I'm thinking manageable in terms of what staff would have to do in order to put together all of the agendas and the materials to cover some of that.
Are we talking about having these workshops at the end of a regular meeting? Or before?
We can have them before or after. The point is that at the board meetings, we're already getting together, right? And so that morning or that afternoon, it's rushed anyway, so you may as well make it the whole day if your calendars permit.
Okay, so the only I can make my calendar. I have once a month what we call District Administrative Council meetings, which are all our VPs of Veteran Services. So far, they're in lockstep with LARIC meeting. So we could change the Friday. I could make the all-day thing work. But I have to be at the other one.
I think my thought is we should separate these, especially if we truly want to bring in. Look, let's tell the truth here. Mm-hmm. We do not have good attendance at our regular meetings. There's 3 cats in the audience. Okay, that's a Cuban term. Okay,
it translates. Okay.
So that's what we have. I think these should be on Saturday, so we can get other folks that are vested to attend. Keep it to a 3-hour time frame, and then you can get your association people to attend and others. It's really hard to get people. I mean, Bob alone, my own, whatever schedule. It's really hard to break out that much of the day to be here for 5 and 6 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I'm open to scheduling a separate session. I think if we're having trouble getting folks to attend during the regular work week, they ain't going to come on a Saturday. Yeah. And I don't want to come on a Saturday either. I have a life outside of work. At least I try to. I'm not saying this isn't important.
Right.
But, you know, Joe needs a little Joe time during the weekends or whatever.
he can smile during the week.
So I'm open to schedule, you know, separate sessions.
I'd be open to that as well. And we just need to get the calendars figured out to do that.
Right. And so as we create the calendar, should we consider at this point, because right now the problem is, right, the main stumbling block right now is that the board meetings are scheduled the 3rd Friday of every month, which coincides with your meeting, right? So should we then go to either the 2nd or the last Friday of each month?
But Bob, does our board meeting conflict every single time or just a certain time of the day?
No, well, thus far, every time we have a board meeting, I have a district administration council meeting all morning.
Got it. So it's like
It's just the same Friday. But if we pick the 2nd Friday, another Friday, mm-hmm. or and enough in advance, then I can book time to do this.
So, Dr. Mallory, are the VPs meet in the morning or they meet all day? I mean, I usually...
No, they meet in the morning. I can usually be out there by 12.
If we kept it to the third Friday and did it afterwards, like the workshop afterwards.
Yeah.
But if we're separating out, so this may be a possibility.
This is the third Friday.
If we leave our board, our open public meeting.
The first, second, or fourth Friday would work for me. If you know, as far as the special session,
right?
That's what I think.
If we knew enough in advance that I could book the calendar.
So who's expected to be at the special session? It's just you?
No, and it's an open meeting.
It's an open meeting.
So the second, if it's before, I mean.
Before what?
We have adult ed meetings at 1:00.
Okay, then first or fourth. First or fourth.
Yeah, I mean we'll have to hash it out Friday by Friday. I mean my calendar is pretty well set, so it's going to be a shoehorn deal, which is fine. We can do that.
I might be able to move some things, but anyway.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. All right. So
do you want to talk about dates
day,
now?
Yeah, or? In day of the week, if you're talking day of the week, does Friday make more sense?
Yes.
Just in terms of, because I know for us, we don't have board meetings that day.
Right.
We don't have admin council meetings.
Yeah.
We don't have anything. Mm-hmm. So
Friday
at least if we can start with one, if we can commit to one on this calendar before we walk out the door. Okay, what about you, Alyssa? Fridays.
Well, Fridays are fine for me.
Okay. So our next open meeting is October
19th.
So, to make you guys not crazy, should we go to like November 2nd so that staff has time to deal with the next meeting and we have time to figure out what we're going to do? Or do you think before that? I'm just throwing dates.
He did easy time. You could do October.
Yeah.
Huh?
Unless October, all we did was the org structure, might not be as long on that particular day.
But we're considering moving the workshop to, let's say, the first Friday in the morning. Uh-huh. And so separate from when the board meeting takes place.
Yeah.
So the October meeting will take place on 19th. And then if we're going to the first Friday, then that would be November, the first week of November, right?
Yeah, November 2nd.
November 2nd, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so then that could be the first workshop.
Is it going to be in the morning or the afternoon?
The afternoon might work better, only because that way
we can go home.
Well,
sorry. We can have a drink after? Is that what?
No, because, I was in the office at 6 this morning.
Yeah,
so I could do
right.
what I had to do before I went and disappeared all day.
Right, right. I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would prefer, for me, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Would be a better and then
what's the date?
November 2nd.
November 2nd.
Alice?
Yes.
Okay. At what time?
So we're saying that we think that the afternoon is a little bit better so people can get to work and instead of coming here and then going back and trying to get to the rest of your day. But we don't want to make it so late that everybody's dealing with horrible, horrible traffic. So if we do start at like 12 o'clock with a lunch, then...
Maybe 12 to 4 type thing.
Max.
Max.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No worries.
That way, it's a separate day altogether.
So we're doing a lunch work.
Working lunch, and then we're just going from 12.
Okay, we got to be easy on the carbs. I'm going to be snoozing.
Yeah.
Must have coffee when I see.
Yes, we have. By the way, we have coffee if you guys would like to have some.
So with November 2nd, okay with you?
No turkey sandwiches.
Okay.
Yeah.
No turkey sandwiches and Cuban coffee.
No peanut butter or jelly.
What topic would you be addressing on November 2nd?
So, and we're going to, okay. I think we'll start with the LARIC
organization
structure.
To the extent you want to talk some funding formula stuff.
And if we can get the beginning of the funding formula. Maybe
sure.
That's the day we kind of talk about the why with funding formula.
Sure.
And then we can walk away from that with ideas of the next meeting continuing the funding formula and having more specifics.
Okay, so that is not allowing the staff to drive the conversation as Bob indicated. In terms of, you know, creating all the necessary materials that we would need. I think that it may be easier for us, you know, to develop a set of materials all at once, right? So if we're going to talk about formulas, we come in and present, you know, a full, you know, the whole thing, if you will, and then we can evolve from there, right? Yeah. We can do additional research and whatnot, as opposed to doing parts of it, because then that requires one set of research and it makes it a little
bit. How about taking a baby step here, not biting off too much initially, and just sticking to organizational structure
for
this one here? Maybe gauging how that workshop goes. We haven't done this before. And then scheduling one in the, assuming that we accomplish what we want on this first one.
Sure.
In the future, that deals then with funding formula. I think we should separate.
Okay. So
then we won't at least meet for 4 hours. Hopefully.
Okay. So we start then with organizational structure.
And in that regard, what I'd like to not only know what the recommendation is, but also what others are doing. I'd like to know some research about what the others look like.
Is there a way, Lancey, to know who the second, third, fourth, fifth largest consortia in the state, whom they are?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And maybe to see how they're structured.
Assuming that they want to share the information, you know, that then that represents an incredible amount of digging up, because you know it may be in one document, maybe in another document, so on and so forth. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just trying to say
you
we can certainly.
You got like 6 weeks,
so and you got a bunch of people. You got diggers.
We can certainly reach out to them, and then hopefully they'll be forthcoming and guide us to where things are. Because in addition to the research, of course, we've got to construct a couple of scenarios, you know, for you all to take a look, and you know, we have to do as well the fiscal impact, you know, and all of those things. Right?
I did a good imitation of my board members.
All right. So we're talking about then on
September.
The November 2nd, right? Okay. So November 2nd from 12 to 4 on organization and structure.
Not
off
their organization structure,
because I already have another meeting that day, so I want to have them both
together. I like your place, too. Okay. To the extent that we can front-load information on the other priorities, we'll be more than happy to do that. I just want to be cautious that we don't overload the staff and we don't provide you with substantial information.
Unfulfilled expectations.
There you go, exactly.
Or thwarted intention.
Okay, and so correct me if I'm wrong, but then, you know, the priorities in order are organization and structure. The second priority is funding formula. They're all first priorities, but in that order, right? So organization and structure, funding priority, and then the other one is faculty engagement and participation.
And then legislative advocacy.
And legislative advocacy.
So that's another... So we have four first priorities.
Right, LARIC, org structure, funding formula, legislative advocacy, and teacher engagement. What was your number two? I thought you did say advocacy.
No, I did not include advocacy, but I will include it now.
And we'll talk, Lancey. I have this written also.
Yes, unfortunately, we have it recorded as well. okay, perfect.
Adrian Ann.
Well, I'll let Michelle go.
Oh, Michelle, she's behind me. I can't see her.
Super fast. So, are you looking at December for the funding formula conversation? Mm-hmm. Like the next workshop in December,
mm-hmm.
Is that what we're looking at for the
next
we
meeting?
Have them once
let's
a month.
Let us survive the first meeting.
Yes.
And then we can go from there.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't ruin my holidays.
It would be December 7th. 3 weeks early. So oh, and it's funny.
I have two questions. One, are we going to have a meeting December 21st? I'm just asking.
So it's on the calendar?
December 21st.
Oh, I would not recommend it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I mean, unless we have something that we have to cover.
I mean, I think the workshop is fine.
I have a DAC meeting. That
yeah,
day,
I think the workshop should be fine, but I think you're talking about engagement with the faculty at that point.
Let's keep the time slot on our calendar, but we may not have an open meeting, right? It'll just, maybe it's a workshop.
Do you want to have the workshop on the 7th? I'm just asking. So
I think we should have the workshop on the 7th if we're going to have it. Not so close to the 21st or whatever.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Okay. I mean.
Okay. Second question. So part of that professional development framework that was presented today included, you know, these PL, professional learning communities, communities or SMEs or networking groups. I mean, they all have about the same connotation. We would like to move that forward even prior to you get to this topic. We want to go ahead and engage them to meet, drive their agenda, and, you know, help them resurrect themselves, right? Because we realize that's important. We have permission to do that, correct? We don't need to bring something back.
I think we indicated we did.
I just want to make sure I understand
that. In our general meeting, right, Bob?
Yes.
Okay, so we can move that, and we can just report back. Mm-hmm. The other part of that was regional planning. How we need to move forward with that? Because I only did that last time we did that with the services of an outside agency to help us do those large group processes and producing the notes. Can we bring proposals back to you on that? Because I don't want to lose too much time. This is September. We do it in October. Then we really have a very short window to answer that call of getting all the information. Because within our district, we have to vet this. Times nine, right? So I got to make sure we're done in time to cover my nine bases, right? So I'm worried that if we... I have no problem bringing back proposals. I just want to make sure I understand the next step so we don't get to October and then
bring
now
back
we're
proposals
November and then we're December,
yeah,
right?
Just so I'm clear, bring back proposals for what?
To engage someone to lead this for process for us.
Define
like
the process again.
Like doing the large groups across. We had someone facilitate that process. They came in last time, and they had a leader with like four professional facilitators. We came up with a list of prompts for each of the groups based on the regional plan. They first met with the executive team, and then we came up with the point people. We came up with the prompts that we wanted to address. We used that to drive our...
It's the planning process.
It is
right.
The
so
right, but it's a 35-page plan versus a 121-page plan. Like getting the input from everybody, I think, is critical. The question is, do we need to invest the money in a person to be able to write that part?
I think you need to invest the money in someone to facilitate the process, and part of their facilitation includes summaries of those different groups.
Yeah. So when Lancy and I meet to talk about the agenda, one of the things we may put on, I'm hearing is that we can add to the agenda a proposal for...
Let me just make a few comments. So based on the experience we had last time, I think the person you're talking about is great.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
My concern is just more in terms of if we're going to be contracting, right, with a third party to provide whatever services, right, we would need to be able to justify, like, if we're going with a single source or however we're doing that, we need to justify it as well as the resources that go with it. And if we as a consortium haven't really defined the scope of work first, I think it's kind of cart before the horse. So that's my only caveat there. I think as a consortium, we should define, more to your point, I guess, what level of scope of work, what do we need to do this time? Maybe it's not the same, maybe it is, I don't know. And then based on that, if we're going to do, like, however we do it, informally, whatever, request for those services, then I don't want to get stung on this later where someone says, all right, so you contracted with this person, why? Did anyone else have the opportunity to do it? I mean, these are the kind of questions that we deal a lot with.
You can look at if you want to do an RFP. I would not recommend that in this process at all. Or a purchase order,
Why don't you do this? Why don't you provide like one or two sheet framework of what it is that we need to get done?
Right.
Based upon the 35 page as opposed to the 100 and something page. And it may be exactly the same amount of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. I think it is the same amount of work. I'm happy to do that. I do think it's the same amount of work. As part of it is we have to review our current three-year plan and the overlay next to what we're going to do.
Right.
It is harder to write 35 pages and answer the question than it is 200 pages.
So, and then the bid limit these days is about 90,000. 200. So to avoid the RFP process,
right?
You know, so this it'll be under that amount.
Because then it's more of a ratification versus that having the prior,
right? And
approval,
then somebody has got to be the one that would actually do the contract. But we can figure that out. So I guess basically, when do you need to have a green light for that to start
that
process?
So we talked about in the point people is doing, a series of, it's very similar concept that we did last time, this executive meeting, these half-day workshops with some reports coming after it, answering the cues that are in the framework and moving it forward. I would like to have the green light as soon as possible because to get through each of our districts, work can't start until we get the purchase order in place, if it's a purchase order.
So
that's a month out. So if we wait till October, so look at this. Then we're into November. We've lost the first semester.
Okay, so without getting into the discussion today, it'll come down to who does this. So if anybody has concern over the entity who did it last time, then not only should you voice that concern, but you should put some alternative folks on the table to consider to get it done.
That was, what's her name?
Kayla.
Okay, so that we can...
Yeah, and I don't mean to...
No.
It's probably fine or whatever. I just know in where I work, these kinds of things can get contentious in terms of, there was work that needed to be done, and this was the fix in on this person.
Yeah.
Some other entity comes forward and says, well, I could have done that work. How come I didn't have a chance to put my hat in the ring kind of thing? I don't personally, and I'm being very honest, I don't have another person in mind. I like this person, and I think she does just fabulous work. I just think as a consortium, if we're questioned, I just think we want to make sure we have a, however we justify it, continuity, under the bid limit, whatever, sole source, however we justify it. I just want us to be on the same page.
I'll add quickly that I think the answers that she gets now, at least from our folks, might be different than the answers that she got 2 years ago.
Oh, I think they will be.
And so I think it's worth it to do it again, given what we now know, given how that we're fully structured and fully up and going, given the new funding formula, it's another. Mm-hmm. They would look at it in a much more informed light.
Right, absolutely. And looking at next the initiatives that are coming down from the state,
exactly,
that are going to drive really the educational policy that's coming forward.
Exactly right. The guided pathways, the vision for success, all that stuff. So I think it's well worth doing.
Yeah, I agree.
It will really inform whatever those 35 pages.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it has to be tightly structured.
Yes.
All right. So so the cost again is about $90,000. We do have enough carryover on the LERIC budget, LERIC office budget right now to absorb that cost. Just want to make sure that everyone is okay with us proceeding with that expenditure.
Who's generating the caveat, LAUSD is or LACC?
We can do this right.
Yes. Okay, so that's great. So LACCD can generate the PO,
clarity around this type of meeting versus the conversation we're having right now.
Yes.
So my understanding, workshop is discussion,
right?
Not action.
Correct.
Are we taking action?
Well, we can ratify this. Actually, we can come out of this meeting, we can be in the other meeting and just pin this to the as an action.
You're the expert in the process.
You can come out of this and reconvene.
Nobody from Culver City is going to come and say, Veronica, you did this wrong.
But you don't have to physically move to the other room. Yeah. You can do it in here if you want
to. Even though it was on the agenda.
Right. Well, it's. Yeah.
Well, there's two.
Or you can bring it back as a ratification.
But let me ask this, Dr. Miller. If it's part of a plan that was approved, then it's part of that plan. It's an element. I'm not saying against transparency. I'm not trying to be cloudy here.
Yeah.
But it's part of a plan that was approved, and this is part of that element to complete a
the professional development.
So, I mean, one way to look at it is like, okay, so at LUSD, we apply for a big grant, right? And in the grant, we name a particular vendor because of certain expertise, whatever. The board will say, okay, fine, you're justified in terms of a sole source in that case because it was sort of written into the grant. I think that's kind of how we're looking at this. In other words, we more or less already have approved what we're doing and the process and so forth, so this is more or less utilizing the same process that we used previously in that cycle.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so, I mean, I don't know. That's one way to look at it. I don't know if that's...
I'm not allowed to jump into the conversation.
Well, and Alan said this, the other benefit of this, if we go with the same vendor, they've already done it. They know us, they know people, they know how to get us pulled together again. Yeah.
And I think that it seems like we may have agreement or consensus, let's call it at this time, in terms of, you know, the vendor. I don't think that there are any issues. Please correct me if I'm wrong with the vendor in particular. The issue is really on the mechanisms, right, that we're going to utilize to make this transparent and to make this, you know, palatable to all the districts involved. And I think that if it were possible to include that sole source
justification
as part of the framework that has already been created, we can just add it in there. You know,
we can do. I mean, she's not a sole source, but I mean, it's under our limits. We don't have to put the sole source. I mean, we can do whatever you're directing.
Yeah, the issue is that LAUSD is acting as the fiscal agent for the transaction, right? And the funds in the amount that exceed LAUSD's limits will have to be transferred over to the community college to pay for...
Well, the other thing is, you guys can just write the contract. We don't have to do it.
No, because for LAUSD on any service for more than $25,000 needs to be vetted with the board. That's board policy.
Well, our board is going to have to approve this as well, but they'll approve it as a ratification.
I think we have a lot more hoops and issues than you do in this area, particularly with contracts.
Got it. Okay. So we can handle it as long as you guys can get a check to us to pay for it.
Right. Yes, and I think that should not be too much of an issue if we can have...
So does that require board action to Veronica's question? Yes. Does that require board action?
It does. A professional framework was already approved.
But it wasn't
approved.
The vendor.
Michelle, you want
to... I'm just in hearing it in my reading is that hers was just a presentation on her framework. It wasn't an actual approval
My fiscal agent just told me that we have the money to pay for this out of LACCD funds, LARIC funds. So we'll do it.
Okay.
We're going to do it without an action.
Great.
It'll be a consent. We'll set it up. We'll do it out of our adult ed funds.
That makes it even easier.
Okay. But contribution to the cause.
I think it's a good investment. Less than 1% of the total consortium budget. To create a plan. I mean, I'm looking at it in that framework, right?
That's good.
1%.
I think it's totally worth it. I don't think that's
absolutely necessary.
Okay.
Okay, 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. I'm tired now. Let's go. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, staff, any last questions? Okay.
I think we're good.
Right? Yeah. Terrific. All right. Very good. So we'll get together tomorrow. We'll come up with a few.
Tomorrow?
I'm sorry. Monday.
Good luck with that.
We'll come up with a few bullet points. We'll look at the transcript, so on and so forth. And then we will check with you this week, next week, I'm sorry, so that we can begin to tease out agendas and all that good stuff.
Okay, this meeting is adjourned. Our next meeting for this is going to, a workshop will be on Friday, November 2nd.
Yes.
At 12 o'clock. At Bandy Camp.
I'm going to confirm that, but yes,
okay.
I want it there.
And we're adjourning this special meeting at 5:09 p.m.
One last request from staff. Do me a favor.
Yes.
Send me the Outlook meeting, or whatever meetings we just decided today. Yeah. Send me the Outlook thing so I can just get it on my calendar.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.